Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I want to talk about really the variety of real estate investment transactions that is available. And more so, I want to talk about real estate being purchased from one end of a spectrum to the other. Let's call it a continuum. One end being the hustle game, all the way to the other side, which is really big time commercial real estate investing. And I want to do this because, you know, if you listen to me on the radio, there's so many different variations. And not only that, I got some interesting emails that have come in the last week or so, and I wanted to discuss them, but I noticed that they started piling up because I leave these specific ones I'm working with today kind of off to the side. And the reason I leave them off to the side is because of this. When I first started doing real estate investing, I had X amount of money and not a lot of it. And I was working from ideas and ideals that I had learned by taking real estate courses. Dave Eldado, Robert Allen, Jeff McCone, Tommy Vu, the Milans, Ron LeGrand, Carlos Sheets, Robert Kiyosaki. Later, Donald Trump had a course, but I never listened to anything he said. His course got sued out of existence before I even got a hold of his course. But it was just a copycat of the same old material. What was the original real estate guru's material? Every bit of it was something for nothing. Now, this is what's important. I had a guy contact me the other day from the Wall Street Journal, wanted me to help him write a book about real estate investing. I'd helped him before with the real estate article. But the point here and what this book would be about, as I was thinking it through to talk to this guy, is that when I first started real estate, whenever you were to look up a real estate guru, and most of the time you'd see him in Midnight Madness, late night infomercials, and they would tell you that they, you know, change your life. And there was, you know, so many of them. They're all really freaks. I mean, there was a Vietnamese guy named Tommy Vu who just lost it. I mean, I could tell you stuff, but I can't say it on the radio, the stuff he did. There were all these different people, but most of them were freaks. And most of them were trying to sell their seminars to the lowest common denominator of human beings, the late night, midnight, madness, something for nothing, instantaneously, gratificationally diseased losers. And that would have been me at the beginning, right? I'm listening. I'm trying to learn something. And so is every other person out there that doesn't have any money. We're all trying to learn something. But we're trying to learn a specific something, by the way. That specific something is how to buy real estate with no money. That's what it comes down to. And if you have no money and you think about real estate, the only thing you ever really think about is how do you get into real estate without any money? And that becomes the beginning of your search for this stuff. And when you do that, you are going to find yourself looking for ways to buy real estate, but not really buy it. In other words, what you start out doing is trying to figure out how to control real estate. How can I get something under control so I can turn around and flip it over to somebody else and make a commission? From the very beginning, I didn't believe in this type of real estate because to me, this is no different than having a job. I sold health club memberships, and all of a sudden you're selling contracts. When I was in the finance business, I was selling finance contracts to lend people money and then collect it back. Again, I was selling a loan to somebody. No different. Now you go out there and find a piece of real estate that somebody will let you write a contract to buy. Then you turn around and sell the contract. We call this flipping. Some people nowadays call it wholesaling. It's like it's a business. It's a job. So I took this kind of real estate off the plate completely. It wasn't really what I was looking for. What I was looking for were ways to buy real estate that you could hold that would create cash flow. So from the very beginning, I had rule number one, which don't lose money, because I'd already lost money in the stock market and I didn't have any more money I could afford to lose. So whatever I did had to make enough sense that I wouldn't lose any money in it. But rule number two was I need cash flow. I wanted to get out of my 12-hour-a-day, 6-day-a-week job. I needed cash flow. And one of the seminars I went to, the guy actually produced a pretty good theory that you need cash flow. And I don't even remember which one it was of the 20 or 30 different ones I went to see. But it stuck with me. You need cash flow to be able to make this stuff work, to be able to retire, right? So that became rule number two. Now, rule number three didn't come till way later in my career, which was you can't get rich slow, when I figured out, boy, you got to start doing big transactions if you really want to be rich. So when I started out, I was scraping around every kind of thing I could come up with to get deals to happen. I have an email here from an interesting individual. Let's see if it's a guy or a girl. I really can't even tell the name. It's one of those names you couldn't tell if it were male or female just by looking at it. I have no idea if this is male or female. But it basically states this: Hi, Dell. From the age of 23 to age 28 today, I have purchased three houses which have $50,000 to $55,000 in equity each. That's quite good. So this person has gone out and created about $150,000 with equity in these properties. I'm making combined cash flow of about $1,000 a month, which isn't bad, about $330 each average. And I'm working full time, which is obvious. If you're only making $1,000 a month on your real estate, you should have a job and be working full time. So everything about this so far I can relate with. He's saying then, or she's saying, whatever it is, I'm wondering, what do you suggest I do to make that grow in the most effective way possible? And then create some suggestions from this point on in my life, considering that I have about $10,000 to investable funds. Should I find a partner? Should I find a partner and buy more houses? Or only buy one or two houses and prepare to move to multifamily, which doesn't really make much sense, and then try to refinance the portfolio and buy another house? So I really wish I could tell if this is male or female. The name is so generic, though, I just really can't. The bottom line is, folks, what I wrote back to this individual was, I think you should do all of them. And I was sincere about that because I did all of them. They're all available to you. You've got a portfolio of only three houses. That's a good start. You're in a good position. But hey, if you could refinance that equity, that $150,000 out of there, you could buy 10 more houses. Or you could buy a very small apartment. It would be 5 units, 8 units the most, depending on where you bought it. You could use that with the $10,000 and buy even more, right? So refinancing the portfolio is really a good idea. I did that. Grew my portfolio that way, but I also started using partners. And what that did was that created an unlimited amount of capital. But the bottom line is that this person, I'm assuming a gentleman, has purchased three houses and wants to know how to keep going. And he says he's only got $10,000 to go. Well, you could buy one house with $10,000, but if that's all you've got, then you don't have any more money. That's going to put you in a tight situation if something comes up you need some money for. So he also says he has $150,000 in equity in these three rent houses he bought. I highly recommend you go get the equity out of those three houses. That would be a good starting point. But the next step in your progression is going and finding partners. Now, here's where this really becomes complicated, because there's a lot of people, as I'm going to show you some emails here later on today, if I can get to them, there's a lot of people that do real estate and they do it wrong. Unfortunately for them, real estate's pretty forgiving. You can do real estate wrong. And let's say, I'm just going to make up some numbers, okay? But bear with me. This is just an example, and I'm making it up. My average rate of return on deals that I've gotten into is 200% return. But let's say I'm the best out there. And I'm not claiming to be the best, but this is an example. If I only know half of what I know, that return goes down to 100%. And by the way, so you feel comfortable, is let's say it's 200% over 5 years. All right? Now you've got it to 40% a year. If you only know half of what I know, you're only going to earn 100% over 5 years, which is going to be 20% instead of 40% return. But if you don't know anything, I mean, yeah, you understand you own a piece of real estate. Yeah, you understand you need to put a tenant in there. But you don't know how to put the tenant in there quickly. You don't know how to keep the tenant in there. You don't know how to keep the costs, the maintenance costs down. You don't know how to keep the tenant paying. You don't know any of the really important things. You don't know how to rehab the place, so you end up having headaches down the line. You've got, you know, tenants calling. You've got the taxes, tenants, toilet problems. Maybe you even get sued because you don't know what you're doing. I mean, there are a tremendous number of downside pieces that could occur to you as a real estate investor. Now, let's just, in this story I'm making up, say that maybe you got lucky in the first one or two or three. And then after that, you go out and find somebody, say, you go to your family members is where you usually start and say, hey, I've done these and been fairly successful. You might even say very successful. And I'd like to get you to invest with me on the next one. And so they invest with you and maybe do one or two good ones there. And then they just, you guys all decide to do something a little larger and more complicated than a house. Fourplex, an apartment complex, five units or larger, or something unusual like a mobile home park or a senior citizen's deal or whatever it is. Since you have no idea what you're really doing, that doesn't work so well, and so you kind of crater. You lose your family's money. Or even worse, you have partners that are not your family, somebody from work, some friends, some relatives. Worse, your wife's or relatives, your in-laws, you lose their money. And then you realize you really don't know what you're doing. It's been hit and miss, and you've just been lucky. You've just got lucky. And now you get wiped out. You've done all this, made all this money, accumulated some real estate, whatever it is, a couple houses, maybe 10 at the most, and then you wipe it all out. I've heard that story for 34 years, over and over and over again. Now, having said that, I'm still telling you it was the easiest way I ever got money to invest. The difference was I was good at what I did. Think about this for a second. You've not been trained in these skill sets. Number one, I was trained in sales. In the health club industry, we needed people to sign contracts. So I understood contracts, and I knew how to sell contracts. When I was in the finance business, we had to sell contracts. So I understood contracts. I knew how to sell contracts. When I went into the leasing business, it was nothing to me. You had to sign a lease. I sold a lease to you. I knew how to do contracts. I knew how to fill them out. I knew how to enforce contracts. It was nothing to me. So leasing was nothing to me. When I was in the health club business, I had to maintain facilities. There are very large health club facilities. I had to maintain them. I had to have vendors, contractors, and maintenance guys to maintain them. When I got to housing and apartments, maintaining these facilities was much smaller than what I had to maintain when I was in the health club business because I ran like six really large health clubs. Again, this was a natural for me. Being in the health club business and consulting and mentoring people, being around people has no effect on me. I like people. So when I was out there in the industry, you know, the housing industry, people were something I enjoyed, not something that I despised. You know, tenants, many people despise their tenants. Go, well, those people dirtied up my house. They broke something. That's what a house is for, to live there, to dirty it up, and to break things. That's what life is. And if you don't get over that, then you're going to be miserable at real estate, right? And so on. This is what goes on, and people eventually burn out to real estate. Now, if we move past that, right, we move on. Let's take this next person. I hope I got this one in order here. Lady says, One day in my numerous years of listening to you, I ask, okay, my dad left me brothers, sisters, and myself 20 residential doors, in other words, units. One unit is a quadplex, six are duplexes, and they have interest. They have, my brothers and sisters have no interest in selling. So I can't use any of that as a type of collateral. My brother and I own a mobile home, and we rent it out. And then my brother and another partner own three properties. I have about $60,000, maybe a little more, that I could use to invest. How could you help me? What would you take to acquire an apartment complex? All right. So here we are now, where some of those mom-and-pop investors really never educated. And by the way, this particular lady is a real estate agent, and I know it's a lady by her name. I'm not using her name because I didn't ask to use people's names. But she is a realtor, so she understands what real estate is. She understands what a real estate contract is, and she has enough real estate knowledge for her and her family to pull off all these different individual transactions. Obviously, her dad set her up in business, her and her brother and her sister, whoever all these are. And they, you know, inherited this real estate, and her brother went on and did some other things, and now she's asking, can she do other things? When we come back, we're going to talk about where this lady is at, because she's now at the precipice of a new consideration. We'll take a short break and be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with the roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system, you know, is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off your butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join the Financial Freedom Program for just $297 for 2 years. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Code 2024. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about real estate in the unconventional sense. How do the beginner people do this stuff? The low-end people do it. Now, I want you to understand that I bring on people here doing multi-million dollar deals, and professional real estate investors that are doing, you know, massive, massive deals, multiple massive deals. And right now I'm talking about, hey, those guys down at the bottom scraping away, trying to buy a few pieces of real estate and how to move on from there. As we went to break, we had a lady that had said she's got her and her brother and sister inherited 20 residential units. One unit's a quadplex, fourplex. Six are duplexes, so there's six more duplexes. That's 12, and four is 16. And they have no interest in selling, so I can't use any of that for collateral. My brother and I own a mobile home we rent out, and then my brother, another partner, owned these other properties. Then my brother, another partner, owned three other properties. I have about $60,000 to invest, and what can I do with it? So can I buy an apartment complex? This is where it gets crazy. You're not going to buy an apartment complex for $60,000. You can probably buy a fourplex, but an apartment complex is considered five units and up. And everything changes when you go to a multifamily apartment complex over single family. This lady's a real estate agent. She understands real estate, but probably at the single family level. Having had a fourplex and a bunch of duplexes, you probably think you understand multi-family housing. I started with single families, then duplexes, then fourplexes, all the way thinking, okay, I've figured out a plan. I've modeled a plan I can survive with. The challenge was when I went up to 10-unit apartment complex, 20-unit apartment complex, 30, 40, 50, 60. In fact, it changed every time I went to a larger number of units, because the way you manage multifamily property is different. I'm not saying completely different, but I'm saying it's different. So I have two things that I see here. One, this lady's going to have to find somebody else to partner with. Now, maybe her family wants to partner with her, but they're now going into a zone that she doesn't know very well, or maybe not at all. Doesn't seem like it if she's a residential real estate agent. Secondly, the average person that does real estate doesn't understand multifamily. So what I'm saying to you is, you're now at a crossroads. Do you want to go start a business that's more complex and has more downside potential and more upside potential than just a residential single-family house, right? Do you want to take on that risk without having the education? Well, since these numbers start getting into the hundreds of thousands of dollars you're going to need to put down, and by the way, if you're a member of Lifestyles, it's very easy to find partners that are educated on these things that would want to go into this deal with you if she wants to go into a multifamily deal. And they would be good partners because they wouldn't be bugging you to do all of the crazy, stupid stuff you did back when you had single-family houses. Therein lies the real problem. You go into a partnership with these brothers and sisters or their friends, and they've been brought through the business from the bottom up. They have bad business practices in most cases. Even people that know what we teach them sometimes make the mistake because they just won't listen. They just want to do it their own crazy way. So you want to get in here with people that know what they're doing and aren't going to try to drag you into doing something crazy, right? All right, so I'm going to move on to the next one now, because that's, you know, the next step up. Let's go to the next step. The next step is a lady who's been a member for a long time, and she says, I'm an independent real estate owner, and now I bought a 12-unit apartment complex well back that also had a tenant-occupied double-wide and garage with it located very close. Moves on and says, the mobile home tenants are moving in June. We don't want to drop $20,000 or so to rehab a mobile home, which is a good decision. The property, the 12-unit, has 9 studios that are somewhat of a challenge to keep full, and 3 two-bedroom units. My phone rings off the hook for the 2 bedrooms, so I think about adding 6-to-8-unit building and a 2-to-4-unit building of 2-bedroom units. All right. Here's where this lady, who is educated enough to have this property, been doing well with this property, although she's right, an efficiency single unit, it's really an efficiency is what she has of these 9. She's called them studios. A studio, it's one big room, kitchen, living room, and bedroom all together. So now she wants to go from owning a property, which she's figured out how to do, a trailer she was renting, was just simply renting, to now getting into construction. And so I wrote her back and I said, look, I've never built anything. I've never done construction. I've remodeled a lot of things, but I've never built something. And she wants to do it bad. This is a completely different type of real estate. Building something has massive potential risk. So I sent her to David Fisher, who does a lot of massive renovations, almost to this, well, absolutely to the studs, sometimes down to the slab, whatever he needs to do. He's not afraid to do anything. And I said, let me have David mentor you on this. David came back and said, hey, you do not want to do this. Take that money you would spend to build that stuff and go buy something that's already in existence, even if it needs a renovation. Because when you build something new, you now are running into the fact that you have to come up to code. In other words, this whole thing that she wants to do is very, very complicated. Now, having said that, someone that knows how to do all of that could figure it all out. It will still take them 2 years from the day they start trying to figure it out to the day they can build these things and complete them. David's point was, whatever amount of money that would cost to build all that, right? And she also asked, can you get commercial lending on construction? You can get commercial lending on construction, but It's not 100% financing. You're going to have to come up with some large chunk of money yourself. Typically, construction financing is only anywhere from 50 to 70% of the total cost to build the thing. They want you to have skin in the game. So you understand what I'm saying? This is a very complicated thing this lady wants to take on, right? And could it be done? Yes, if she goes and finds an expert in that particular field. I feel she was a little uncomfortable with me telling her that we don't have that expertise because, again, people seem to think that if you know anything about real estate, you know everything about real estate. And that's not the case. I understand single family and multifamily residential housing real estate. I do commercial real estate, but I don't teach commercial real estate because I don't think it's right for most people. It's too risky. Single family and multifamily housing, it's way safer than commercial. Okay, so having said that, she asked one more question I wanted to answer for her. And that is, she says, I could build a laundromat there. And there's a mobile home park across the street. So you can just imagine this place. It's got this weird little 12-unit thing. It's got a mobile home sitting there right next to it. It's got a garage sitting next to that. It's got a mobile home park across the street. So you envision what this is, guys. This is not a nice subdivision. This is not residential real estate. This is rural slash no code type real estate, right? So would it be okay to put a laundromat there so my people, my tenants have a laundromat and I could open it up to the mobile home park across the street? And I said, I don't mind the laundromat, but I'm uncomfortable with you opening up to the people across the street. And said, well, they could make more. I can make more money. As soon as you let mobile home people start milling around your apartment complex, you're going to see stuff start to disappear. They're going to start stealing cars, stealing car parts, you know, breaking into units. You don't want people getting into your complex. You want it to be someplace your tenants feel safe to come home to that nobody else. And if you only got 12 units, you know every person that lives there. And you don't want people that don't live there milling around in there making the rest of the tenants uncomfortable. So again, in her attempt to expand, she's thinking outside of the box. She's really not thinking bad, but she's thinking way more risky than what she'd done in the past. So you see how these things just kind of spiral out of control. Now, remember, we do giant deals. I could take her, because she's already a member. She didn't have to join. She's already a member. Come back to me and say, look, I want to go buy another apartment complex. I could help her do that, and that would be safe. It's what she wants to do that's unsafe. Doing more of what we already had her do was okay, right? Last one before we close out here, a guy wrote me and said, I listen to you every day, and I hear various ways to buy deals, including hard money lending. My question is, if you purchase a deal with hard money, is the house yours to deal with as you please, including refinancing it down the road, or are you obligated to keep it until you sell it? I missed this during the radio show. You know, hard money lending is just simply another kind of loan. It's a loan where they'll lend you a much larger percentage. They'll lend you 75% of what the after repaired value is, as opposed to only 75% of what you're paying for it, which means you can generally get the rehab put into the loan. But it is simply that, a loan. You can pay it off anytime you want. And most of us, we buy it with the hard money loan, and then we immediately refinance out of the hard money loan into a different loan that has a lower interest rate and longer term. So really, understanding hard money lending is simply a mortgage. But I think there's a lot of people out there, because I've had girlfriends in the past that didn't understand. They thought that a mortgage meant that the bank owned your home. The mortgage does not mean the bank owned your home. The bank never owned your home. It has a lien against it that if you don't pay, they can foreclose on you. But they don't own your home. It's still yours to do with what you want. All right, folks, I hope this helped clear up some of this stuff. And remember always, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. So make the right decision and buy the right real estate so it's easy. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening.
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.